All right, Bill.
I think we're here on the stream right now. Can you hear? Put it in number five.
I'm not ready yet, Wendy. Give me another minute and a half. I'll be ready in about 90 seconds.
See, we are kind of the pioneers of the WGN Extra here.
That's exactly what we are.
And we've been doing this for
streaming
quite some
ears.
Time. Streaming ears.
That's what
I
we
like
are.
That.
Under our streaming hats.
Sounds like Mickey Mouse. How is Mickey?
It does sound a little like Mickey Mouse, just a little.
So we're on the stream with Dean right now, WGN Extra.
Yes.
Dean is here.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard boys, Dean
on the stream, Wendy.
Dean, I want you to make me breakfast, like with avocado toast. And what else were you making this morning? Oh, my God, it sounded so good. I bet he can't hear us.
I can't hear him. Uh-oh. This isn't good. Press the button, Wendy.
No, it's not on my side.
Oh, it's not? Shall I answer for him?
Yeah.
Sure, Wendy. What would you like for breakfast?
Well, you were making avocado toast.
Yes, I was.
And, Dean, you are also making... Why does this happen every time we go on early?
I don't know. You'd almost think they would keep a clipboard nearby with things to do in order so that it didn't happen every time, but it does.
It goes flawlessly at 12 noon.
Yes.
But whenever
but not
it's
early. Nope.
All right, Dean is... I can hear him. He can't hear us. Why is that? Because there's a different setup because we are on WGN Extra.
Yeah.
It should be okay, but it's not.
Right.
I just feel bad. I can hear him breathing. At least we know he's alive.
If he had a sex hotline number, this no, if you called Dean's sex
it
hotline...
It would be very boring if this is all you've got. I would expect a little more breathing. I'm going to monitor him in queue because I would...
Just in case?
Well, I just don't want him to... He's got an open mic here.
And who knows what he's capable of?
Can he just call us? Wouldn't that be a good answer?
Yeah.
Here, I'll just call him.
All right, give him a call. Call Dean Richards.
But he was out, I don't know if it was with Anna Balaval.
It was, this morning.
Yes, but all I heard was him talking about making this mimosas for Mother's Day,
mm-hmm.
and he would take pomegranate juice and freeze it. So then
ice
when
cubes?
He made yes, and then when he put that in the orange juice and champagne. But I had an addendum that I wanted
you could
to
make
give
it
him
even better somehow.
Yeah,
I can't imagine.
Can we just call him? Would that be a way to do it?
Wendy, better yet, I'm going to send him a letter.
It'll probably.
Get there by Tuesday. He'll send a letter back. We'll get that by Thursday. This will be taken care of fast. You'll see.
There's a different setting when we're on the stream, and I don't know that it's hooked up to Dean's microphone.
Oh,
there.
All right.
Because
that makes sense.
We are on WGN Extra, not 720 AM WGN.
Right. Right.
Breaker 19. Do you hear me?
I always like that every once in a while they'll show you footage of guys walking around on the moon and that goes off flawlessly, but we can't talk to Dean and he's 12 minutes away.
Yeah, I know. So I think we're calling him or he's calling us.
Yes.
All right, because I have an addendum to his...
to his recipe?
His pomegranate mimosa. Is this Dean? All right. Dean, we are on the stream, so I don't know. There must be a different button that needs to be pressed because we could hear
something.
You breathing.
Something. Oh, you could hear me breathing. Oh.
Yes.
I could hear White Sox pregame.
Yeah.
I couldn't hear you guys.
Right. There's a button at your end.
How does my breathing sound?
Your respiratory. We give you high marks for your respiratory.
Thank you.
It was all great.
I feel guilty, and I was trying to monitor you in queue because you had an open mic, and you were breathing so softly. Bill thought it was your sex line, and I said, if this is a sex line, I want my money back.
I do that after the TV morning show. That's I try to do. You know, you've got to pick up a couple of bucks
sure.
wherever you can.
Yeah.
And you know, people call and ask me to seductively read movie reviews at them. So I'm happy to do it. It's my pleasure.
I heard you this morning. You were talking about your mimosas, your pomegranate mimosas, and I have a tip to add to your pomegranate juice ice cubes.
Delightful.
Dean, this morning, as he was around town with Anna Balaval making amazing things, I had to have avocado toast because of you as well.
Oh, that was so good today. That was that was one. Maybe we made a lot of really good things today, but that it's so delicious and healthy.
Sure.
Until I put bacon on it.
And I thought of Bill when you were making the eggnog French toast because you love eggnog.
Love eggnog. How are you getting eggnog this time of year in May? They
I
don't
found
have eggnog.
Some.
You
yeah,
did?
I found some. I'm not sure how fresh it was, but
it stays good for a while.
Wow.
Yeah, it was canned. Some stores sell canned eggnog, so it's, you know, canned is not my first choice. But
right.
You can use, this is, you can take any kind of, you know, stale bread or old bread. I bought challah bread.
Yeah.
That's like kind of a sweet bread, and I cut it up into cubes and put it in a, like a baking dish, and put about 2.5 cups of the eggnog in it, and cinnamon and nutmeg. I didn't put rum in it, which I now regret,
right,
because after I was done, the first thing I said when I tasted it is like, oh, rum would have tasted so good in this. But I didn't put any in. But, and then you just bake it for, and eggs, 6 eggs in the whole mixture. You mix it all together. You bake it for about a half an hour, 40 minutes, something like that. And then it's like the most delicious, moist, crunchy French toast that there could be. But what was your tip?
All right.
What was your tip?
Now, Dean said that he took pomegranate juice, froze it in a little ice cube tray, and then he would put that in a mimosa with, of course, your champagne,
Wendy,
and orange juice.
Quick question. Can we call them mimosas in honor of the holiday, please? Thank
good.
You.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah,
acting like you work at Applebee's.
Right.
Applebee's.
Can we bring you a tray of mimosas?
I like that.
Did we save room for some mimosas? That's what I would say.
Almost every Thanksgiving, as I'm preparing the Thanksgiving turkey, I drink pomegranate mimosas.
Delicious.
And I use Pama liqueur that I add.
Nice.
But what would make your drink or my drink better, float a few of those pomegranate seeds on top, and then it's beautiful.
Nice. Very nice touches there.
For
very,
next
very
year.
Lovely.
And those freeze, Wendy? Because some alcohols don't freeze, right?
Or who's do all freezing?
Oh, you don't want to freeze that the pomegranate?
No, you just put them on top and they float to the top. Then they sink to the bottom.
Oh. You mean the seeds?
Yeah,
the seeds. But you know what I'm guessing is if you put the pomegranate liqueur like in the bottom of the glass, and then sort of softly pour in like against a spoon, the champagne. So now it's in two layers, and then you do the same with the orange juice. You've got three different colors in there, and a few pomegranate seeds on top. Now you know that's practically a red, white, and blue special right there.
That would be good.
We
got to
open a bar. What bar would we open, Dean? What would we call it?
I'm planning on working at Applebee's when I finish my broadcasting. My broadcasting career. I'm going to work at Bill's. Bill's got the chain of Applebee franchises that Bill runs. I'm going to work for him.
Anyone you want, Dean. You know that.
We'll
get you in.
Appreciate that. I do like to drink while I'm on the job. I hope that's not a problem.
Not a problem.
Dean, I have a question from the world of entertainment. Are you ready for this question?
I hope so.
Have you seen the pictures? You and I, we've all discussed that they're making a sequel to The Sopranos. So now there are pictures of the guy who's playing young Tony Soprano. Do you know who that is?
It's Gandolfini, James Gandolfini's son.
Yeah, it's his son, Michael.
It is?
Yeah. He's going to play Tony Soprano in the prequel. And from the pictures I saw, you couldn't look more like young Tony Soprano than he does. It's perfect.
Yeah, it's great casting. I don't know what kind of an actor he is. I mean, I guess he must be okay if they, you know, they I'm sure went through some sort of vetting process more than you look just like your dad, we'll hire you.
Right.
So
right.
I would hope that there's some, you know, acting that would go behind that, but I'm so curious about it, to see, how far this apple falls from the tree.
It's the movie's going to be called The Many Saints of Newark. It just started shooting. It was announced in January that Michael Gandolfini is playing his father's old role of Tony when he was a teenager, 19 years old. The rest of the cast includes Ray Liotta, who I understand is no longer smoking, Wendy, Vera Farmiga, John Bernthal.
I love John Bernthal.
It should be good. I can't wait.
That's good. Is it going to be on HBO like the original Sopranos was?
Well, they had originally talked about it being a theatrical release, but now in this version of it, they're not saying exactly where it'll be.
be very curious about that because, you know, something interesting has happened. A lot of projects that were going to be on HBO, they're not sure if they're going to be on HBO because now they, as of last week, they started a new rule there that all movies must have cups of Starbucks in the scenes, whether it makes any sense or not.
Every HBO show now is doing that?
You just, if you look carefully, now you're going to see John Oliver, there's going to be a Starbucks cup.
In the background.
that's placed on the side. This week's Game of Thrones, they're starting a contest, count the number of Starbucks cups and win a prize.
That's
this
excellent.
Is the greatest marketing thing that's ever happened.
Dean, I have found the answer to your question. The movie, The Many Saints of Newark, will not be on HBO, but it will be in theaters, and that happens September 25th of 2020.
And this just in, Polly Walnut's son, Lil Nut, will be in it as well.
Lil Nut.
I love him. He's one of my favorite.
Me too.
He's one of my favorite actors. I was sitting at an airport once, and I think it was New York. I'm just, you know, sitting in the waiting area at my plane. And a guy comes. I wasn't even really paying attention. I was like reading or something. And some guy sits next to me, and you know, eventually I looked up. It was Polly Walnuts.
Really?
Paul Gualtieri.
That's the actor's name who played him?
Gualtieri.
Yeah.
Yes.
He'll always be Polly Walnuts to me.
Right. Once walnuts, always walnuts. You said that, Dean. You've mentioned that
That's
on the
right.
show.
That's right, which is, by the way, a delicious dessert that we serve at Bill's Applebee restaurant. We recommend if you still save some room for the Polly Walnuts.
Isn't it funny when waiters or waitresses will ask you that question? Did we save some room for some lemon meringue pie? Like you're budgeting the room in your stomach. Wait, hold on. Yeah, there's just enough room for lemon meringue pie.
I always tell them that's a personal question, and I'm offended that they ask.
You know, I don't go to a lot of movies, and my son Dylan told me I have to take him tomorrow night to see Pokemon Detective Pikachu.
You know what? I'm going to see that this afternoon, actually, and people are telling me that they are really enjoying this. What I'm hearing is that kids are liking it, but the adults are the ones that are coming back saying, I had a great time watching this movie from people that I've talked to so far. So I think they're sort of targeting this for people who now may be in their, you know, mid to upper 20s, early 30s who
just
grew
like
up
me.
With the Pokemon.
You're in your early 20s and your early 30s.
Shut up. Add them together. All right.
You add them together.
Yeah.
This is the group that grew up with the TV show, with the cards. And now Ryan Reynolds is the voice of Pikachu, Detective Pikachu, in this movie. They go on a Pokemon trainer, as I understand it, go on this quest to solve a crime. I don't think the storyline is as important as how well this is done. And Ryan Reynolds, who does the voice of Pikachu, is turning out another really good project. Very, very different from Deadpool. Apparently, it's definitely not R-rated. It's PG-13. But people are saying that they sort of can't wait for it. And I'm going to see it this afternoon. I'll have a little bit more about it tomorrow morning.
Excellent. I've been told, Dylan's like, Mom, will you take me to see Pikachu? And I'm like, can't Dad do it? And he's like, Dad took me to the Avengers last time, so he wants to share the wealth. So
it's like a Mother's Day experience.
Forgive me for not knowing this, but I honestly don't know this. Didn't Pikachu only say his own, like, Groot?
Pikachu!
Yeah, that's all he ever said, right? Or did he say more than that?
In previous incarnations, that's what he only ever said. But here, the Pokemon, the guy who trains the Pokemons, is able to understand him beyond just those words, is what I'm gathering. I know an awful lot about this for a grown man who hasn't seen the movie.
You do know a lot.
I did my homework on this. I've actually done more research on this than I did Avengers.
Is it like the original Orson Welles version, or is it, have they... drifted.
Very much.
Is it?
It's just like the Orson Welles Pokemon.
Good.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because I actually thought of you this week.
Why?
I was watching the Dick Cavett Show on some cable channel.
Yeah.
And Orson Welles was the guest for a full hour, just telling stories about his career and, you know, being a young actor. And it was fascinating. And I thought to myself, Bill would enjoy this.
I would love that. I remember when I was a kid, they would bring Orson Welles on, and exactly as you mentioned, he would just hold court, and I was spellbound, and I was seven. I loved it.
He was just like an amazing storyteller, fascinating life as an actor, fascinating personal life. But he, during this interview, he said that he didn't drink. Now, you correct me on this.
Paul Masson wine.
Yeah.
For wine. That's what I thought.
We'll serve no wine before.
Paul Masson. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Did he do, every once in a while when he would do one of those shows, he would bring a magic trick or two. Did he do any magic that night?
No, he did not. Oh. He did not. He just talked about his life. And Dick Cavett was smart enough to keep his mouth shut and stay out of his way and let him tell wonderful stories. It was great.
You know what's funny? Sometimes you got an Orson Welles who felt very grateful to have been given the opportunities he got, and other times he seemed very bitter because even though he's a Hollywood legend, the credit list is a small one. He didn't do that many amazing movies, sadly. You know, the studios were a little afraid of him.
I think he liked to be in control also.
Yeah.
I think that was also part of it, where the studios, you know, it's their money, you know, and they wanted to call the shots.
Yeah.
Orson Welles wanted to call his own shots, and he actually probably was one of the very first people to work out of the studio system, while guys like Marlon Brando and, you know, the great actors were all working within the studio system during the 50s and 60s and 70s, even into the 80s, you know, which were their heydays.
Yeah.
Orson Welles wanted to do his own thing. He had his own theater company. When he made movies, they were, you know, small and independent movies. You know, he was not part of the big monolithic movie companies,
right.
To his, you know, probably financial dismay, but he liked doing what he liked doing.
Oh, I love him. Can I ask where you were seeing the Dick Cavett Show? Because I would love to watch those.
I believe that it might have been on the Decades Channel. I want to say it was on the Decades Channel, and I want to say maybe 8 o'clock, 7 or 8 o'clock at night, I think.
All right.
It's Dick Cavett, and, you know, it's a very interesting lineup of guests that he has, because it's always, you know, kind of eclectic.
Yeah.
And kind of a little bit off the mainstream, where he would have, you know, political leaders. Truman Capote was
Groucho
on.
Marx a lot.
Recently, Groucho Marx was a favorite of Dick Cavett.
Woody Allen.
Would come on all the time, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I got to find it.
There was a great episode with Lester Maddox.
Yeah.
Who was a politician, I want to say Alabama, somewhere in the South.
Yeah.
Who was on with... might have been James Baldwin, somebody, and they got it was just the most tension-filled race argument.
Wow.
And that was on network television back in the day. It
right.
was fascinating. Really interesting conversation.
All right, I got to find that. Dean, sit tight for just a little bit. We'll get
I know
more.
you love your hateful race conversations.
Yes.
If anybody loves it,
that's the best.
Yeah.
It's got me written all over it. All right, more of our discussion with Dean Richards in just a minute. It's Phil and Wendy on WGN.
We are talking to Dean Richards about movies that are coming out this weekend. I will be seeing Pokemon Detective Pikachu, and that's happening tomorrow night for me. Later today
because
for Dean.
You are an intellectual that way.
Yes.
Yes, I know.
Yes.
What other movies are coming out?
There is the movie with Diane Keaton called Palms. It's sort of a female version of the many, many movies that we've had of, you know, old guys and what old guys, you know, maybe like to do, like sort of these bucket list movies that come out. The movie called Bucket List might be an example of that with Jack Nicholson and
Morgan Freeman.
Freeman. But, you know, the Grumpy Old Men movies, there was that one Going in Style that had, you know, four or five...
George Burns?
Yeah, I don't even want to say... Well, the Sunshine Boys would certainly be one, but this Going in Style was... I want to say De Niro was in it, and Kevin Klein, and it was, you know, just a bunch of older actors, you know, doing crazy things, acting like they are still young. This is the female version of that. It's Rhea Perlman and a number of other actresses, along with Diane Keaton. They are all women who live in a retirement community, and one of them has always had the desire to be a cheerleader. She wanted to be a cheerleader in high school. She'd never quite made it. Now she's retired. She's living in this retirement community and starts this cheerleading club that other women are also interested in doing. And it's, you know, it's just sort of something. It's a funny movie about, you know, when you're 70 or 80 years old, doing the moves of a cheerleader are not quite as easy as they were when you were 16.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a movie about that. These women who are, you know, trying to fulfill a dream that they've had all of their lives. And it's not the, you know, it's not an earth-shattering movie, but it was, it's kind of fun and it's kind of delightful. I gave it a Dean's List B minus.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I go right ahead.
Would you agree with me that if we're discussing women of a certain age, let's make that age 65 and over, that Diane Keaton may be the coolest woman in that group of all time?
I love her.
So good.
I think so, yeah. It's not really a spoiler to tell you about in this movie because it's revealed very early in the movie that she is a woman who has cancer.
Yeah.
And in one of the very first scenes of the movie, you see her calling her doctor and saying, I'm not going to take the chemotherapy, I'm not going to take the treatment.
Yeah.
And then goes on to, you know, kind of sow her wild oats in the film and making friends and doing things that she's never done in her life. And I sort of thought that during the whole movie, not because she was a cancer person living with cancer, but Diane Keaton is so youthful.
Yes.
The movie is kind of inspiring that way.
Oh, good.
That it made you, you know, really right now I am in a cheerleading outfit.
Oh, you are right now.
That's how inspired I
that's
was to see the movie. It's a little drafty. Yeah. I've got to say, I didn't anticipate that.
That's Tom's, what was Dean's List on Tom's?
Dean's List B-minus on that one.
Very good.
Yeah, I kind of like that one. There is this Pokemon Pikachu movie that is out, and I'll talk more about that tomorrow. But a movie that interested me very much is called Tolkien, and it is about J.R.R. Tolkien, who wrote The Hobbit, who wrote the Lord of the Rings trilogies. And it's a story about the man himself. It's you sort of have to get the full appreciation of this. I think you have to be familiar with The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings and Middle-earth and all the things that Tolkien has made as, you know, part of some of the greatest literature that's ever been written.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about his childhood as a young orphan. It's about how he grew up and the difficulties that he faced in growing up and becoming the author that we know him as. Nicholas Holt, who is a young actor, plays him in this movie. Lily Collins plays his girlfriend in the film, and it's very interesting. It's sort of the backstory of kind of a Lord of the Rings backstory, almost prequel. I enjoyed that one as well, and I gave that a Dean's List B also.
Oh, good week for movies.
Yeah.
Very good.
It doesn't really matter because Avengers will still probably be the number one movie this weekend, but it's nice to have a little variety out there.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. So
happy Mother's Day weekend.
Thank you, Wendy. same to you.
Word to your mother, Dean, is what we're trying to say. Word to your mother.
Well, word to my mother. Thank you. She appreciates that. She's 96. She just turned 96. And I'm sure we haven't made any specific plans yet, but I'm sure we're going to have a lovely day on Sunday. She'll be on my radio show.
Oh, excellent.
Like she always is.
Always love hearing her. She's so funny. Thanks, Dean. Have a great weekend.
Right,
that's Dean Richards. He's in a cheerleading outfit.
I know that's
How about
scary.
That? All right, a break and then more of us, Bill and Wendy and WGN.
It's Wendy Snyder. We are on WGN Extra. I'm just trying to explain to people, because if you're on the app, we are on WGN Extra. It's bonus audio. We are there. There is also WGN Extra 2.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is there. There's
all these options, Wendy.
Third stream. I don't know
what's
on there now.
We live in a glorious time. A thousand years ago, there was no bonus extra stream 2.
We've been on the bonus hour on WGN Extra or whatever they were calling it for. Has it been like 3 years now? Two for sure.
Yeah, I think closer to two maybe, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Everything runs pretty smoothly from this point forward, I think.
We
from
like
noon
to believe
one.
So, right. The first half hour is still the Wild West when we do more than the the bonus hour was designed originally by Thomas Edison to be 60 minutes. But now it's 90 minutes, and I think that throws everybody a little bit in production. We'll figure it out. It'll be all right. Not today, not tomorrow, but someday.
It's been perfect for 2 years. I just don't understand why we're having an issue.
Why it's
here.
A little different sometimes.
And I just want to address the people, the masses that are listening, because many people listen to us live as it
in
happens.
In mass, while they're in mass. A lot of churches now pipe us in.
Then I can't be on the show.
You can. You just have to watch what you say and do.
I'm not mass worthy.
Oh. Oh.
312.
Do your part in Latin, like they used to do in mass. That'll be fun.
I don't know any Latin words.
Nothing?
Libra.
Libra.
Librum.
Yeah, Librum. That's part of your arm.
Album.
Album. E pluris unum.
Pluribus.
Pluribus.
312-235-2525 is the number. If you'd like to call us now, we're here till 1.
Carpe diem.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Seize the day.
Seize the fish.
And people are saying they're having a difficult time on the app listening, and Dean was being cut off by commercials. Please know that we're trying to figure this out.
Right.
Hopefully, when John Williams takes over. Oh, this will be fun. There's no Wintrust business lunch today because
right.
of the White Sox baseball game
right.
At Cleveland. And so John Williams will come into crosstalk with us. That's always fun to see him.
I saw Steve Bertrand just hanging laundry up on a line. He had nothing to do. So he was just he set a line up across two trees. He was putting laundry out. It was fun to watch him, Wendy. There's no limit to what he can and can't do.
I bet he would be a good launderer because he's so tall he can reach the clothesline.
Yeah.
Do you have a clothesline at your house?
No.
We do.
No. I wish we did.
Comforters. That's the best part of summer is because we have a king-size comforter and it doesn't fit very well in our old washer and dryer.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you have given me used tennis balls to put in the dryer to kind of help dry things out. But
right.
there's nothing like hanging it on the line.
Yeah.
And then you get a couple of cicadas stuck to it, and then you lay in bed, and you hear that little...
Oh, isn't that a nice surprise? It seems like such a thing from so far ago, putting clothes out in a clothesline.
Did your mom used to hang clothes in the
No.
air? Really?
We had neighbors that did it, but my mom was not a part of that.
My mom did the
We tried
sheets.
To put them up on the telephone line, but my mom hurt her back. She said, I'm not going all the way up there again. But the clothes come out so nice, Mom, we would beg. But no, she wouldn't play along. You know, I always pair that off with, like, there were always women that would put the clothes out on the clothesline. And I know that sounds sexist, but I never saw a guy do it ever once in my life. It was always women. And the other one was, I put this in the world, in the category of old world stuff you rarely see anymore, would be somebody making a pie and then putting it on their windowsill to cool off.
And then birds would always come and peck at it.
Right.
And didn't they have screens back then? I guess maybe they didn't.
I don't know if they had screens or not. I would see it like in comic strips. Like, remember the Cats and Jammer kids? The old woman that they lived with, I don't know who that old woman was. It was too old to
no
be their
relative?
Mom.
Grandma?
I don't know.
Great aunt? Who
the timing was off. You had the two Cats and Jammer kids, and then they lived with like an old ornery sea captain and an elderly woman. And I don't know who those people were to them.
They're foster parents.
Were they? Were they kidnapped by them
the
or something?
Cats and Jammer kids.
Yeah. Two delightful little German lads who were always up for mischief, Wendy. Always up for a game of mischief when you're a Cats and Jammer.
The pie thing, for some reason, I believe in New York. Like, I always feel
New York
like...
New City?
Yeah, like, they don't... Anthony!
Oh, I always put it in a more rural setting.
Oh, not me. I feel like it's, you know, that third floor of an apartment...
Yeah?
...where there's a fire escape, and they put the pie out there.
Put the pie out there. Yeah?
I guess you went a little bit country, and I went a little bit urban.
I see it being more rural, and then I also see the pie having... little divots in it. Little dots all over. Yeah. Yep.
That there's you're supposed to do
for
that
for cooling purposes,
or so it doesn't collapse. I think.
Oh, I didn't even consider
steam
that.
Steam builds up. Didn't you ever make those banquet chicken pot pies?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay, I'm not criticizing you. I'm just questioning you. Did your mom cook from scratch every night for the most part?
To me, a pie only has either a fruit filling or like a chocolatey filling. I don't understand the concept of putting chicken in a pie.
Chicken pot pie, the banquet ones, they're only like, I think, 99 cents now. When we were growing up, there'd always be, it seems, one night a week where we'd do TV dinners.
Oh.
Or
yeah.
The banquet chicken pot pies, and my mom would make a salad with it.
Oh.
And I mean, they were cheap, they were easy.
Yeah.
And she worked till 5.
So it was just convenient.
Yeah.
It was a quick dinner.
But we'd always take a fork, and you were supposed to poke holes in the top of it so it wouldn't flatten.
Oh.
And so I guess it would cook evenly, I don't know.
Oh.
But we always took the fork and made our initials. Like, mine would be a W, my sister's would be B for Betsy, my brother's C for Chris.
Oh. Yeah, that works.
Yeah, and so I
then
remember poking the holes in there, yeah.
No,
You never had a chicken pot pie when you were growing up?
No, I only like pie-flavored things in pie.
I know what you like.
And then every once in a while, somebody would say, like, they would call pizza pie, and I would go, pizza's not pie, pizza's pizza.
Pizza pie, yeah, I don't get that.
I don't understand that at all.
Because it's cut in pie cut, maybe.
Yes, but still, it's a big stretch, and one I'm not willing to take. And the old sea captain that I lived with and his elderly wife wouldn't see it that way either.
You wish.
The Cats and Jammer Kids was one of those strips that I would read grudgingly.
I never
found enjoyment in it, and yet I went, I'm here, and there it is. I might as well read it, you know. But those two kids were always just doing, they were always involved in bad things, it seemed. And then the old sea captain would get mad at them.
I don't remember them at all.
They were crazy, and I couldn't make out, maybe because, you know, I don't speak any German, so they would phonetically say things, and the characters in Cats and Jammer Kids would bicker in, like, a phonetic version of German. So it was hard. It made my brain hurt to read Cats and Jammer Kids. I couldn't do it.
Oh, I remember them now that I'm looking at them. One was blonde.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I read them, too.
They were a little bit pudgy, but I think after you steal as many pies as the Cats and Jammer Kids did, you're going to put on a little bit of weight. But they always had a little bit of girth to them. A weird smile pasted on each of their faces, that devilish smile. We're up to something bad, you know, that kind of a look.
He was a sea captain. He had a long beard, but I don't see, like, a naval hat.
I don't know if he actually did time.
Oh, okay.
Maritime, but he just looked like if somebody goes, quick, who's your favorite old German sea captain? I'd go, that old guy who lives with the Cats and Jammer Kids, probably.
He almost looks like Brutus or Bluto.
From Popeye?
But with, like, a combination, like the love child of olive oil and Brutus.
No. Let's think about that for a minute. Are we under the belief that Sweepy was not the love child of either Brutus or Popeye?
It was Popeye's.
And why was it Popeye's kid? He wasn't a very dependable dad then.
Well, he was a sailor and he was busy.
I guess, but he kept his distance from Sweepy if that was his son.
That's how they did it back then. Who was Sweepy's mom?
Sweepy's mom was olive oil, but they were very nonspecific on who the dad was.
Was she a trollop?
Oh, I don't think. I would hope not. I don't like to think of her as being that, no.
Oh.
But they sure didn't want to commit to who Olive Oil's, who the father of Sweepy was. Was it Wimpy?
He kind of looked like Wimpy, if you want to know the truth. He was a baby found on Popeye's doorstep.
Yeah.
Actually delivered to him in a box.
Oh, that's pleasant.
And Popeye adopted him and raised him as his son.
Popeye did, not Olive Oil? He was always with Olive Oil. Olive Oil was always taking him for walks in the park and stuff.
In the cartoons, Olive Oil helps take care of a baby named Sweet Pea, or she usually asks Popeye to take care of him if she's too busy.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
It's unknown if Sweet Pea is Olive Oil's biological or adopted son. In the comics, Sweet Pea is found under Popeye, or is under Popeye's care.
Oh.
In the comics.
I'm used to seeing Olive Oil take care of him, but like you said, she always has something to do and asks Popeye if he can take care of him.
What does she have to do?
I don't know. She seems to live a fairly easy slate. I'm not sure. The beauty shop.
She never worked. Oh, went to the beauty shop.
You don't
shop.
Think she did?
She didn't work there.
No, she didn't work there.
Oh, yeah. I liked Popeye.
Yeah, me too.
That was a pretty good cartoon.
But it never made me crave spinach. Like, I think...
I did.
You did because
I
of Popeye?
I swear to you, I would go make spinach. No, I love spinach.
I know the myth was, Popeye would be strong to begin with, and then as soon as he popped a spinach or two, his arms got bigger, he got more powerful, he could jump and fly and stuff. I'm not buying that.
I
was more the Cats and Jammer Kid diet of just sneak a pie every once in a while than have a can of spinach.
But only fruit or chocolate in
your pie.
Yeah,
not chicken or pizza.
Do you remember Alice the Goon?
Yes.
That was a scary look, like a real long nose.
Yeah.
And what's a goon?
Well, usually a goon is somebody who gets into fights a lot.
But this was a woman.
This was a woman.
Did she work with the sea hag? And who's Poop Deck Pappy?
Pappy, that's Popeye's father.
Poop Deck?
Yeah, that's part of the ship, part of his boat.
Yeah, the bathroom.
That's his dad. That's Popeye Sr. Handsome man, by the way. Did they show a picture of him?
Yeah.
Good-looking man.
And Eugene the Jeep? What's
a
Jeep?
That was like a guy, he looks like a cat, kind of, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some weird characters.
Eugene the Jeep. Now, if you were Olive Oil and you had a baby, maybe it's yours, maybe it's not, and you needed somebody to watch him, would you say, I think I'll get that old sailor guy who eats a lot of spinach and hangs around with a cat and a fat guy who only survives on hamburgers? He seems like a solid guy to take care of my baby.
Well, I mean, times are tough.
And you can't make out a word he says. How was Olive Oil while I was gone? I don't understand. I don't speak your language, sir.
Popeye is a pugnacious, wisecracking cartoon sailor who possesses superhuman strength after ingesting an always handy can of spinach.
Yes.
Popeye was created by?
Max Fleischer?
No. But I would have guessed that too.
Well, Max Fleischer did the cartoon version. Popeye.
Elsie Chrysler Seeger, who in 1929 introduced the character into his existing newspaper cartoon strip, Thimble Theater. So Fleischer didn't do it.
Fleischer did the animated versions. Like when the animation was great, like the 1940s Popeye, where you can't believe how much animation is in every cell.
1933 to 1942, Max and Dave Fleischer produced them.
That's when they were at their peak.
They really were
so good then. And then you watch the ones in the 60s and the 70s where nothing moves, nothing happens.
It's very archaic,
awful.
As you said. Popeye is a scrappy little seaman with bulging forearms.
Come on.
He's a seaman.
Scrappy. That's what offended me.
With bulging forearms, a squinty eye, and a screwed up face, punctuated with an ever-present pipe in his mouth. I forgot about the pipe.
Yep. Big smoker.
Always ready for a fight instead of a reasonable discussion.
Sorry. It was the weirdest speech pattern in the history of comics, but it was funny somehow.
He has a gravelly voice, constantly mumbling under his breath.
Well, in the early ones, in those Max Fleischer ones, you could understand almost not a single word, and Bluto was the same way.
And why did it go from Brutus to Bluto?
I don't know what that was all about.
It was the same character.
Same guy, the heavyset guy with the beard. But, yeah, why did they change the name? I don't know.
His credo is, I am what I am, and that's all what I am. Very good, because I would have said that.
No, I'm all what I am.
Very good.
Yep.
His girlfriend is the gangly, uncoordinated Olive Oil.
Do we need to bully her? I don't know what that's on.
Whose attention Popeye vies constantly with Bluto, his bearded, hulking rival.
Yeah.
Other recurring characters include J. Wellington Wimpy.
Mm-hmm.
You knew that was his name?
Yeah. He's got the weird love of hamburgers. And
right.
And there was, I hope you'll remember this, there was a hamburger chain called Wimpy's Hamburgers
yes.
for a while.
But I didn't know it was J. Wellington Wimpy.
Yeah.
I'd gladly pay you Tuesday
for a hamburger today.
Hey, the hamburger-loving coward.
J. Wellington Wimpy was a wealthy man. You know this, right?
No.
Yeah, he had a lot of money. So why was he always sponging off of others if he had some cash? I don't understand that part either.
I didn't know he was...
Oh, yeah. Listen, the name alone.
Well, Wimpy.
J. Wellington?
But Wimpy.
Yeah, I know.
He's a hamburger-loving coward.
Oh, that's harsh.
Sweepy, Popeye's adopted baby, whom he calls Infink.
Yeah,
oh, instead
he's,
of
he's my Infink. That's how he would say infant in his Popeye way. He's just an Infink.
And Poop Deck Pappy, Popeye's anarchic.
Yeah,
that doesn't sound right to me.
Bringing of all things anarchy. Yeah.
His father.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned...
Who played him in the movie? Do you remember?
Well, Robin Williams was Popeye and was super good. Shelley Duvall was the best olive oil I could ever imagine. And his dad was... What's his name?
You're looking it up. Don't look it up.
I'm not looking it up. I can't think of his name.
What else?
Dabney Coleman.
No, it wasn't Dabney Coleman.
Wouldn't he have been good?
Yes. Yes, he would have been good.
That's the name I was searching for. Who, give me a hint. Robert Duvall.
No. Very famous, he had a TV, he was in 1,000 things, but he had his own TV sitcom. He was the starring role, the title starring role in a sitcom in the 60s.
Culp.
And played one of the most famous teachers in movie history in a movie that came out in the 80s.
I don't remember, Bill.
He played a teacher named Mr. Hand.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah.
Who is that? Who's Mr. Hand?
Ray Walston from My Favorite Martian. He played Poop Deck Pappy, the father of Popeye.
I'm embarrassed for myself.
Come on. It's all right.
I couldn't think who Mr. Hand was.
Oh, well, that's problematic. Because now they ask you that on driver's license tests. You got to know that.
Sometimes I know you forget this, but sometimes I realize I am a girl.
You've mentioned that before, and I will take your word for it.
All right.
We'll take a break. Kim Gordon will come by. She'll give you some news, and then there's more of us, Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, it's news time with Kim Gordon right now. Sorry, I'm listening to the app, and we're not even on the stream now.
Oh, we're not.
It's just the Sox game.
Oh, all right.
So, is anybody out there? Can anybody
hear me?
I can hear you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, that's good
to
know.
That's all that matters.
Excellent stuff. Excellent. I'm taking notes on this Popeye stuff.
All right, well, good. Eric Rung is listening, and Kim Gordon is here to do some
Eric,
news.
Eric, I'll tell you the news. Do you know what it is?
Is it my newscast?
Listen,
I didn't rip your newscast.
Mm-hmm. We have two news people in here right now, and I want to know if they have identified the Cubs upside-down okie-dokie guy.
Oh, they've identified him, but he won't answer their calls.
All right, that's what they say, but here's my question. If they've identified him, why isn't his name out there? Why are they keeping
it private? The statement from the Cubs yesterday said they were not releasing his name.
Tomorrow, we'll all know his name. If we want to know it, we'll know it.
Potentially, maybe even today.
Probably today.
All right, if they know it, we're going to have to know it. There's no way we cannot find out who this person is.
Well, I'm sure if you're the Cubs, you feel all we need to do is ban him and we've done our part.
Unless he's a juvenile.
Oh, that could make it more interesting.
He could potentially be a juvenile. He looked older, but
you don't know.
Sometimes you don't know.
Right.
He's 17.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. And they get nothing out of it by releasing. If you're the Cubs and you know his name, they don't get anything out of it by releasing his name.
Right.
What do they get?
And, you know, like you said yesterday, we learned from the Bartman situation.
Yeah.
So
word travels fast.
But if they haven't found him, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Of course, it's easy to say, guys, We will not tolerate this. We've reached out to him. He won't call us back. We're not going to let him in the ballpark. That's super easy to say, even if you haven't found him.
Right. So why would they say, then, that we do know who he is?
Because they make us feel better, like it's not bad to go to a Cubs game. You should, you know, feel like you're having fun and not worry about any racism being there.
I don't feel bad. I mean, I'm not worried about going to a Cubs game and having a racist issue. I think this was just one guy who made...
If it wasn't on Twitter and no one saw it, I don't know. I feel we'd be better off. Because this has just turned into, you know, it's a witch hunt. It's fake news.
Oh. All right.
It isn't, though. We saw it with our own eyes.
Yeah, yeah. I still don't believe they found him. I don't.
Wendy is the skeptic. Right.
You guys, with the way the news cycles happen, if he
but
was
Wendy,
identified...
with everything that's gone on with the Cubs, with racist...
That's why they're saying we will not have this.
See, but I don't know why they would lie about that, because that would just come back to haunt them in a big way.
Right. You have the Ricketts Sr. incident. You have the Addison Russell side story that's going on this week, where he came back yesterday. So the last thing the Cubs need right now, the team is playing great. They don't want bad press. They want to look like they're your friend.
Right.
So they're going to do whatever they can to make anyone who knows the story believe we've done our part. We found the guy. We said to the guy, you're not welcome here anymore.
See,
you don't believe
it. This skepticism is coming from a White Sox fan. This is where it all emanates.
You know what? Honest to God, it really has nothing to do with that.
I'm kidding.
I know, but I thought somebody might think that because I don't like the Cubs very much.
Yeah.
I just don't know if this kid is visiting from out of state, how you even find out who that kid is. And, you know, I have never seen a news story in the last year, we'll just say, and it might even be longer, where something was brought up and a name was not mentioned. A name comes 5 minutes after.
Well, it took a while to get the names of the brothers in the Jesse Smollett thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it took a few days.
Yeah, it did.
I guess.
And they knew, you know, they had video there.
Right, right.
Give it time.
All right.
Because right now, anyone who does, anyone who's involved in a job, for instance, wouldn't it be a great coup to get this guy? Let's say we found out who the guy was, and he goes, "I'm only going to do one show." We'd want him to do our show to explain himself, right?
Depends how he would explain himself.
Or, and also, the Cubs could be taking the point of view that, you know, similar how we don't like to name a shooter,
yes,
because you don't want to give them the notoriety.
I'm sure it's that. You don't think it's that?
It could be.
I think it is that.
You know, here's something else to think about too. All right, so say they do have this guy's name,
yeah,
and this whole thing about the circle game, and there wasn't anything racist or whatever. Now, again, I'm not basing this on anything, but what if the Cubs know his name, they went on his Facebook, social media pages, and it's filled with all this white power stuff?
Right.
I mean...
Then why wouldn't you still release his name?
Because then you turn that over to police, and it gets to be a bigger issue, possibly.
Right.
You guys, you find names for everything. I just find it shocking.
I think we'll have his name.
All right, I'll shut up then.
It's going to take a little time.
Yeah.
But either that, or he's going to start, like I mentioned earlier, that he's going to start calling news stations and saying,
"No, I got to clear myself.
I was playing this game, and I want to explain myself."
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if that happens.
Or I'm filing a lawsuit against the Cubs for defamation because I was playing the circle game.
Yes.
And I'm a Cubs fan, and I want to go back to Wrigley Field.
Right.
Don't you think? You don't think that's possible?
I guess I do. I just find it shocking that in the way we find news stories so quickly, I'm shocked that we don't have his name by now, if they do, in fact, know who he is. That's all I'm saying. I don't know if they've identified him. And here's the thing. Just keep your hands in your pockets, people.
Keep your hands in your pants.
All right. Even better. Because really, and you know, this has been going on since the beginning of televised events. People get in the camera. Eric Rung, I've seen some good stuff when you're on WGN TV where
the
people just come up.
The camera does attract a lot of people.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know, he figured out he was on TV.
But the guy with Eric, all right, so the guy who was dancing behind Eric.
Coleman.
Right. So immediately everybody didn't know his name, and I know what he was doing was a much more positive thing than what was going on in this Cubs story. But within a day, we went from nobody knowing his name to everybody knowing his name.
If you were this guy flashing that sign, whether you meant it to be racist or not, and no one had brought your name up, would you call and turn yourself in? Because I sure wouldn't.
If I was innocent, I would 100% say, hey, everyone's saying...
No one
I would hold a press conference.
You would or wouldn't?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially if you're innocent. But what if he's a juvenile, though? That changes the game.
That changes it. Right. Right. If
that's
he's underage, you're legally not allowed to, right, if he's a juvenile?
Well, if his parents...
If he wants to, he can.
But his parents need to give him permission.
Yeah, it changes the game, though.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Keep it in your pants.
Keep
what did you say?
Keep your hands in your pants, kids.
Right.
I can't urge that enough. All right.
You should get T-shirts that say that, Bill.
They're being printed up as we speak.
All right, so Kim, you're doing news, right?
I'm doing news.
All right.
Thank you, Kim. Still left, it's Wendy Snyder. Kim's hanging around. Eric Rung's voice can be heard every once in a while. And a quick update. We have had some technical issues today. Usually the bonus hour is exactly an hour. Today, it's a little extra because of the White Sox game. So we are on some streams. We are not on other streams.
I don't even care anymore. Just
and
find us.
Some people, Wendy, have said that instead of us, they're hearing only commercials. And those people say that it's the best show ever, that they're enjoying the show much more today than normally. So
that's
thank you.
That's fantastic.
Thank you for that. That's greatly appreciated.
We are on WGN Extra usually every day from noon to 1. Today we were on it for a little while, then we weren't. Now we are on WGN Extra,
yes.
And we are also on WGN Extra 2.
Right. Yes.
Is that foreign to you? Do you have no idea what
I'm
talking
about? I don't know what any of that means, but you are right. I have a crazy story for you, which kind of in some ways mirrors our story of Wrigley Field. On Wednesday, this is from Yahoo News, on Wednesday, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry introduced their infant son, Archie Harrison Mountbatten Windsor. They introduced the baby to the media. Shortly afterwards, BBC 5 Radio 5 Live host Danny Baker, I know that's a long title, but he's a radio presenter or host. They call
presenter.
Him presenter. Yeah, in England they call them, instead of hosts, presenters, but I'm not sure why, but they do. So Danny Baker then posted an old black and white photograph of a couple accompanied by a well-dressed chimpanzee, captioning it, Royal Baby Leaves Hospital.
Is a hoot. Do they say hoot? And
they do say hoot.
Well, that could be looked at as racist. That's
it
where you're going with, yes.
It is exactly being looked at as racist. Danny Baker was promptly fired from his job at BBC Radio 5 because of the photograph, which he maintains, he did not mean in any sort of racist way. He was just being funny or chippy, as they say in England.
Cheeky.
Cheeky. They do say cheeky, Eric. You're right. They do.
Fish and chippy?
No, not fish and chippy, although that would make more sense. But people are blasting him, saying, there have been other royal babies in recent years, and you never posted that photograph to represent this that baby. Why, with this baby, would you use a picture like this?
It's another one of those, why don't you think about something before
right.
you do it?
Right. He claims he was just being funny or amusing, but...
neither.
It wasn't really...
It's not funny.
It wasn't funny or amusing. Although I do have to say, Wendy, I do enjoy seeing chimps dressed in human clothing. I don't know why, but
since you have been a little kid.
Ever since I was a little baby, that made me laugh. But I understand people being upset about this. I really, really do. But it is a well-dressed chimpanzee, but what exactly is he trying to say with this photograph?
Right.
Right? Is it worth the effort of posting a photograph like this if there's even a small idea that people will be upset by it, which they are. They're very upset by it. And I don't know how long he was a host over there for the BBC, but they prompted him, they fired him in record time.
Wow, he's an older guy.
Yeah.
So he's probably been doing it for a long time.
Right. Right, right, right. Do you see the photograph?
I'm looking for the photograph. And the BBC is, I don't know, I'm feeling like they are...
A little stiff?
Yes.
Yeah?
Don't you?
The BBC?
I could be wrong. I don't listen to BBC radio that frequently.
I remember...
If I recall, BBC has... So they have a number of different channels, and they
BBC
have
One,
a
BBC
number
two,
of different
BBC Three.
Shows.
They do. That's what they call them. You know how here every station has its own call letters? In England, it's just, you're listening to BBC Six on BBC One, and they tell you what's running on BBC One. When I was there in England, what I remember most about their television, because they have a radio branch and a TV branch, is they would have naked people on TV and not even think about it. It was like, no big deal. And that's when I moved to England.
Is that where the term cheeky came from?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
All right. I can't find the picture.
And
but
I was looking for the picture, too. I can't find it. Maybe they took it down.
Here's there's a bunch of people tweeting it.
Is it in black and white?
Yes.
Oh.
It has a very, like, 1940s-y look to it.
It does.
Right?
That's a funny picture. I'm sorry.
It is, but can't you see where somebody could misconstrue this as him taking a racist shot at the royal family?
I guess because she has a black parent.
Right.
I kind of forgot about that,
right,
to be honest with you.
Right.
I really did. It's a funny picture.
I mean, the chimp looks like Winston Churchill.
Well, and the chimp has a cane. Now, come on.
The chimp
That's
funny.
That's
the part that's funny.
Yes, it's like a little old man.
Right. You know who it reminds me of is in the miniseries Umbrella Academy.
Oh,
there's a character on there.
That freaks my
It's a little
gizzard.
It's a little spooky to watch, but this looks like a forerunner to him. Or it also reminds me of Lancelot Lake Secret Chimp. Remember that show?
Yeah, now is that racist?
No. Lancelot Link? Hope not.
We'll see. I mean,
did you ever see that show, Kim?
Yeah. Oh. Mm-mm.
The premise was this was a Saturday morning show. It was called Lancelot Link Secret Chimp because, you know, the missing link. So, all right. So it was him and his partner, whose name was, I think, Mata Hari, right? Wasn't that the woman chimp?
I don't really remember this show.
So they would dress them up and they would solve crimes. It's like, you know, did you ever see a show where you go, is this a dream or a nightmare, or am I actually watching this? So every Saturday, Lancelot Link and Mata Hari would solve chimp-related crimes. They would wear outfits like costumes, disguises, and everyone on the show, you know, it was early lip-syncing, so they would say stuff, and the words wouldn't quite match up. But in your mind, you would just go, yeah, whatever. I can't believe I'm watching this anyway, so whatever. And I almost never missed it on a Saturday morning. I enjoyed Lancelot Link.
I think it was more of a guy thing. I think Jimmy Mack watched it. I don't think I did.
I was so stupid. It would always end with, like, once the crime was solved, Lancelot Link would just keep spinning around.
For no reason. Why?
There was never any reason given. And honestly, as a viewer of the show, you didn't even need a reason. You go, well, I guess that's what chimps do when they solve crimes. They spin around. So, yay, he solved another case. It was ridiculous.
Do you think this DJ should have been fired? Because, I mean, the more I look at this picture cracks me up. It is not a good representation of the royal family leaving the hospital because because the Archie baby is in swaddling clothes. It's not walking.
He doesn't dress.
They're not that old.
Right.
I mean, really, it's a funny picture on its own. It's a stupid depiction or joke to say, here's the royal family leaving the hospital.
Do we know for a fact if the man and woman in the picture, and again, it has, it looks like it's from sometime in the 1940s. Would that be accurate, right?
Yeah.
So do we know, are those two people in the photograph, the man and the woman, are they
actually
royalty
royal
or not?
Does they that look matter? Like it.
They do look like it, but I don't know if they are. And what's going on with the woman's face in the photograph? That's totally being ignored.
Is that the... Maybe
is
it's a man dressed
mom?
As... God, I hope not, because
like
I just
older...
said, is it a man dressed as a woman?
Oh. I don't know the answer to any of that.
It's just a goofy picture they found, and the picture's funny.
Here's the best question about this picture. What was actually happening when they took this photograph? I need to know. I mean, racism aside, whatever this guy's intention was or wasn't, if he was trying to be racist or not, this is an actual picture. This is not a staged photograph. So what exactly was happening when this picture took place? Because sometime in the 40s, two very wealthy-looking people either kidnapped or palled around with a chimp dressed in an outfit. I need to know what happened. Why did that happen?
I want that little chimp. He's so cute.
But Wendy, that was the 40s. So let's say that chimp was 3 years old at the time. He'd be in his mid-70s or early 80s.
I think they live that long, too.
Do they live that long?
He's a senior citizen chimp now.
Somebody needs to track him down and ask him what was going on that day.
Maybe he is the guy in the Umbrella Academy.
It could be.
He's so cute in a little double-breasted coat. I mean, everybody, I've dressed dogs
he
up.
He looks very British, doesn't he?
Yes.
That
yes.
Yes, but I mean,
does.
I get the whole chimp thing and, you know, the racist. I
it's
get
horrible.
That, yeah.
That end of it's horrible.
If it were a duck dressed up, it wouldn't have been,
then it's
I don't
all
think
right.
it would have been an issue.
A duck wouldn't fit that suit as well as that little chimp does. Do you think he should have been fired for it?
You know, I don't. I think it's one of those things where you reprimand the guy and you go, hey, from now on...
Use your head.
Be careful, because people are going to be offended by this.
As they should be.
I don't know enough about that guy, the DJ guy who got fired, to whether or not it was intended to be racist. But I could certainly see where a guy's going, I swear, all I'm doing is posting a photograph that I think is funny. If somebody's reading into it as racist, and I know there are, like I said, there are some parallels to this Wrigley Field story. It's possible that guy didn't mean it as
racist. Right.
Right.
I mean,
possible.
But I think we live in an age of zero tolerance.
Right. We also, zero tolerance to be sure, but it also a time where people don't take that extra 10 or 15 seconds
to think
about it.
Right.
Or I've said this on the show before you're going to do anything major, run it past somebody. Just find somebody you trust, a husband, a wife, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a coworker, and go, hey, I'm about to do this.
No one has time for that, though, in the instantaneous world of Twitter and stuff.
Yeah.
You come up with something, you think it's good for that moment, you're like, I got to get this out, because again, you want to be the first one to tweet something,
yeah.
And then sometimes you don't think it through all
right.
the way.
Here's a good rule of thumb, not about racist tweets that I'm about to tell you, but just in general on social media.
Yeah.
If I have one split second of hesitation, I don't do it.
There's something there.
Right.
Right.
But I don't think this guy had any split second of hesitation because it's a funny picture. I don't think he was trying to be racist about it. It's like, oh, look at this rich couple with the little chimpanzee in a suit. It's like, you know, little Lord Fauntleroy.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
I think you also have to take a look at it in a bigger picture, though.
Right. Right.
What do you mean?
I mean, you have to take a look
someone?
At it from all sides, saying this, whether or not my intention is to be racist or not.
Yeah.
This could be interpreted as racist.
I'm always thinking about. I just don't want to offend people. I don't want anybody to be mad at me, and I don't. I really don't.
Right.
That would really drives me nuts.
Right.
So I try not to offend anyone except you, Bill.
Don't read the text line, because you're getting a lot of texts. From chimpanzees, well-dressed chimpanzees, who find what you're saying to be offensive.
The chimpanzee's name is Winston, by the way.
Is it? No. After Winston Churchill?
Yeah, he
looks
like
it all
Winston
makes sense.
Churchill.
He does a little bit.
The only thing missing is a cigar.
But people would be upset about that. You don't give chimpanzees cigars?
Yeah, they smoke.
Come on. They can chew tobacco. That's where we draw
the
line.
They can smoke in Europe, though.
That little
Much
smoking...
Better than
Don't they have little smoking monkey dolls or something?
They
Didn't somebody
to.
Give you one?
Yeah, they used to do in machines.
Oh,
you know, you put a quarter in and you get a smoking monkey.
How is that a good idea? And that's not racist at all. That's stupid. Monkeys don't smoke.
Hopefully not. All right, we'll take a break. Kim, thank you for hanging out. Eric, thank you for hanging out. We'll close things off next.
Bill, that pretty much does it for us. We are going to eavesdrop with John Williams and Steve Bertrand arguing.
The people downstairs sometimes give Bertrand free coffee. They don't give any of us free coffee. We all pay for the coffee.
They like Steve.
Of all of the people in this building, then you would go, wow, that's a guy I want to give a free cup of coffee to. Would he be in the top?
No.
Wow.
Four-fifths?
Why would you say that about me?
Because I engage them in conversation, and I am bright and bubbly, and I should be the one.
They're lovely. I see them every day we talk.
Are we talking about the same place?
They don't talk to me.
Well,
I make them talk to me, and they
There's a little snack shop downstairs, and it's a fine little place. You get donuts, coffee, salads, but it's a place of commerce. There's no community there.
There totally is.
I don't even get a smile from them. I'm not kidding.
Sometimes I ride the elevator up with the manager after she's dropped her baby off at school.
Yeah.
I think we're talking about two different places.
Yeah. They've hosted
or two
a couple
different people.
Of, they've hosted a few Bertrand travel events for you. You said they've done a nice job.
They have croissants, the Bertrand travel
events.
Yeah. No, they're wonderful people. I'm really shocked that you guys don't like them.
I like
didn't
them plenty.
We say we like them, but I can't. When you said they give you free, I bought 1,000 cups of coffee from that
I'm
place.
Sorry. I should not have said that, because I didn't realize I'd be met with such jealousy from my coworkers.
I don't want anything free. I want them to talk to me.
Well,
they don't talk to me.
Promise me you won't bring it up to them. Because
you know they're going to bring it up. They're definitely going to bring it up.
Well, I don't actually believe it. I don't think they're giving him free.
He wouldn't lie about something like that.
It doesn't jive.
I'm right here.
Hi, Steve.
Isn't it fun being on the stream on WGN Extra? It's a little looser.
Yeah.